Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello, Tycoons, and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host here, as always, Austin Peterson, coming to you live from the ever-getting-hotter area of Phoenix, Arizona. I'm joined by my co-host, Landon Mance, dealing with the exact same thing in Las Vegas, Nevada. And then we've got a special co-host, special guest, Brian Shields, coming on the show today with us from kind of the Inland Empire area of California. So it's probably a little bit hotter there as well, but not to the same level as Vegas and Phoenix.
Yeah, excited to be here.
Yeah, welcome, Brian. Glad to have you. So today's episode, we're talking a little bit about prioritizing mental health, burnout, and different topics that Brian's kind of known for, speaking about quite a bit on podcasts and other areas of social media. But this is Mental Health Awareness Month. Obviously, this is a business podcast, but we kind of just want to talk a little bit about how mental health is super important as a business owner and as a person in general. I put out a blog post about how mental health can kind of lead to financial health and the opposite, so to speak. Unfortunately, this past Saturday, I woke up and the first thing that I saw on social media was a posting about one of my close friends' sons who had taken his own life due to some mental health issues that he dealt with after a traumatic brain injury. And, that's close to home because he was a great kid. He was a great friend to all the kids in the neighborhood that we lived in together about, 10, 15 years ago. It's tough to watch that and to see that and to understand it. I've got close family members who deal with mental illness and the effects of that. And so, it's a really important topic all the time, but since this is Mental Health Awareness Month, we wanted to make sure that we kind of talked about this because it is important as a business owner. And it's something that a lot of business owners struggle with and deal with. And we've got clients that we know deal with these types of things and working through those things with them is super important. So excited to have you here, Brian, and talk about this. And maybe I'll just kind of let you kick it off, give us a quick intro on what it is that you want to talk about specifically, and then we'll see where the conversation takes us.
Right on. So Austin, Landon, thanks again for having me on. I'm really excited about this. And I know you guys do great work with the entrepreneurs and business owners that you work with. And so the fact that you're bringing this topic to them, hopefully they take it seriously, given the level of trust you guys have built with them. When I think about like burnout, I experienced burnout and spoiler alert, I had to take a year sabbatical from work. And I don't necessarily wish that on anybody, but it's important to understand how I got there, and that'll frame the conversation. So I started my career out in private equity, and I was in New York working on Wall Street. I slept under my desk more than once, like long hours, hard work, intensity, not new to that. Survived it, thrived in it. I took all of that experience figuring out how to buy companies, grow companies, launch companies, and I went to go run some parts of a private equity portfolio. I came to California to run growth at a few different venture-backed companies and took them, in some cases, 20x bigger revenue than where we started. One went public. So I've been in these high-pressure, high-growth, high-intensity situations and been successful, which is great. Until I stepped into a lot of the shoes that people who listen to this show are in. And that's fully being in the ownership seat of a business. So in 2019, I acquired a property management business. Property management is described as a 24/7 business, rightfully so. You have stuff that happens in the middle of the night, early hours of the morning, et cetera. And so you got to be on top of it, right? Additionally, not everybody's always in their best mood when they have to reach out to the property manager for whatever, right? Like if your toilet's overflowing, you're not going to be in the most jovial of mood. So we had a lot of stress thrown at us, which we could handle. We had COVID that happened right after we acquired the business. We handled it. we had to turn around and completely revamp the business and restaff it, reset the processes to turn around customer service. And we handled it. And all the while I was like prioritizing my team's mental health. I was like, cool. Hey, today we're taking a mental health day. Everybody can turn off their phones, disconnect, go sit in the park for the day. Like we would give people free days off. We would have ice cream socials. Anytime somebody came to me with a health issue, I would prioritize making sure they took care of themselves. Because I fundamentally do believe that if your people are at their best and feel 100%, then the company will have the best chance to thrive, right? The rub is that I did not do that for myself. And so when we successfully sold this business for a gain, it should have been like the happiest day of my life. Like, it's like, oh, look at all this money that hits the account. And my wife is now happy and believes that I know what to do in business and all this other stuff that, like, you know, go out there and the external part of business that's validating I was achieving. And my daughter brought me this banner that she had made with crayons and it said, congratulations. And I couldn't even muster a smile. And I knew something was wrong. So I started talking more about this publicly because as I mentioned it to people, I then started to find that there were a lot of people in charge, particularly business owners, who had these issues, who felt that their performance was declining or their willingness or resiliency was declining or their just general interest and passion for this thing that they've invested in a lot of cases their life into waning. And they couldn't really pinpoint where it was coming from or what was happening. And ultimately, it was a symptom of burnout. And more people were dealing with it, but nobody was talking about it. And a big part of that is when you're in charge, when you're the buck stops with you, you're like, who do I even talk to about this? Like, I can't talk to my employees. In some cases, you can't talk to your business partner. And there's only so much you can talk to your spouse about it. So it can be a very isolating thing. And I set out on a mission that as I continue to do my business work and look at other investment opportunities, like I just want people to know that it is also very normal and okay to feel these things. And there are ways to get yourselves out of them. And in a perfect world, prevent it from even happening.
Yeah. I mean, I think the way that you kind of kick that off is perfect. You know, it makes me think of, obviously, like I mentioned in the intro, you know, some of our clients that we've kind of had these conversations with, but specifically over the last 6 to 12 months, you know, in a peer group that I'm in, a Vistage group that I'm here in, or that I'm in here in Phoenix, there have been multiple business owners where we've had these conversations about burnout, right? And really, you know, not wanting to continue to do it, or do I really want to continue to do this? And looking internally and trying to figure out, you know, what makes sense for them or how to kind of get through these. And, you know, we talk through this. And so, you know, I mentioned that one because, you know, there's call it 12 to 15 people in this group. And I would bet over the last year, at least half have expressed that particular feeling, right? So it definitely is prevalent, right? It's something that's going on with a lot of people. And the other thing is, you know, COVID somewhat magnified this, right? Because we had to figure out a way to try to be present and run our businesses in a different way than we were accustomed to, right? We couldn't be with people and that was isolating. And, you know, there's a lot of different things that kind of made that worse, so to speak. But the one positive, well, there were a lot of positives, but the one positive from a mental health standpoint that I would point out from COVID is that I think it made it more okay and you know, accepted or acceptable to be able to have conversations about mental health and what we're struggling with and to not have it be this taboo topic, right? I mean, I think that's really when you started to see it explode on social media where people were willing and happy to put out there, you know, I'm neurodivergent or I suffer from bipolar disorder and I'm still a very successful business owner, you know, whatever the case may be. And so it did bring it to the forefront and made it okay for people to talk about these topics.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So it's just to reinforce the point that you're getting at. So BizBuySell, like the largest listing service for business for sale, the number one reason for 2 years in a row people sell their business on there has been retirement, obviously. The second one, by like just a hair has been burnout for the for 2 years running now. And so to the spirit of your point, people are experiencing this so much that they're like, I got to sell the business. Like, I got to get out of this. And I think that to your point, like post COVID, I know for myself what I've experienced and what I've observed with people that I speak with about this, they've been so burned to the crisp in terms of intensity, in terms of change management, in terms of like staffing, figuring out staffing issues. Because another thing that led to a lot of people feeling burnout is like, you know, this person was moving here, this person left, all these other people underneath them were experiencing their own mental health issues and had to leave, leaving the business owner in charge of figuring out how to deal with it. So in a lot of cases, there was an increase in willingness to and acceptance of speaking about their mental health status. But from an employee to employer level, the level of responsibility and impact was different because, you know, if I'm in charge of widgets and my widget makers all quit because they're having mental health crises, like, first, okay, I respect that, want them to feel good. But second, I still got to make the widgets. Like, so somebody's got to come in and make the widgets, and I have to figure out how to make that happen. So then it's almost like where normally things roll downhill, right? Stuff rolls downhill. In this case, stuff kind of rolls uphill. And I imagine that that's a prevalent conversation in your Vistage groups and stuff, because business owners, like, I know for myself, I always prioritized the team first and held all the responsibility and blame with myself first. So if those widgets weren't getting made, like, I'm rolling up my sleeves and I'm making the widgets. Like, I'm going to make sure that this happens so that my team can have space, time, or recovery. And if my clients need something and my team isn't there, I take care of it. And so I imagine a lot of your listeners feel the same way. And so, like, the question ultimately becomes, where do you go with that? What do you do with it, right? And, you know, so last year I started a retreat for other guys in this headspace to just, like, take a time out. I call this retreat called Halftime. And Halftime is meant for people to just go, like, people who are business owners and in charge of teams, to just go somewhere away from there, fully check out, turn off, like, whatever 9-to-5 thing is going on in your head, and just be the rest of yourself, right? Because one of the things that leads to burnout is when you are so intensely focused and engaged with a thing that you're not allowed to relax. And so relaxation and rest shouldn't feel like four-letter words, right? Like, they should feel like things that we do actively and intentionally, because they make us better performers at our job, at our operations, at our roles. And I think that can be very easily lost. And so I was just like, hey guys, we're just trust me, we're going. Last year was in Palm Springs. We're going to Palm Springs. Show up. We're going to do some cool stuff, and you're not going to talk about business this whole weekend. And, you know, since then, people have gone on to start new businesses, like new divisions of their companies. They've gone on to close some of the biggest deals that they've been working on. Like, they've been able to execute the things that they wanted to because they were able to recognize they needed some rest. They got some rest and then made rest a part of their routine going forward so that they could continue to outperform. And I'll leave you with this, man. Like, you know, I'm a big basketball fan. LeBron James is going to be 40 this year, and dude is still arguably a top 10 player in the league. And one of the core things that his trainer and he talk about that lead to his success is his approach to rest. Like, cat naps, structured sleep schedules, like, no phones in the room, like, all the stuff that we hear in the media and kind of, like, disregard. Like, the one of the best players and physical athletes, not only, like, physically but mentally, prioritizes that for himself. And so, like, I got to do that for me, because I'm not that guy. So I need even more of that to make sure I'm successful.
So, Brian, you know, we've been getting to know you over the last, you know, 6 months. And so we have a more in-depth kind of more in-depth exposure to your story. And you and I have spent a lot more time with each other than you've spent with Austin. But I have learned a ton from you, not so much about what you say, but about what you do. For example, you know, you texted me on Friday afternoon and said, hey, brother, just letting you know, phone's going off for the whole weekend. So have a great one and look forward to catching up on Monday, you know. And so by by learning from your example and by seeing like what you have done, and that's just one example of many, many things that I could think of over the last 6 months, but that kind of stuff subconsciously, you know, is registered, right? So on Saturday and Sunday, when I was at home, you know, I put the phone in my, you know, closet on my dresser and spent significantly less time on my phone over the weekend, you know, and subconsciously, I know for sure it was because, you know, you had sent me that text on Friday. And so you've made a big impact on me, with a lot of that stuff. But for people that are in the thick of it, that are saying like, you know, I don't know, maybe they don't buy into this, you know, because of whatever reason, or they just don't see it as reality to prioritize certain things because they're just so focused on, you know, running and growing their business and, you know, growth at all costs. Like, what do you say to that person that might be heading down the road that you were heading down prior to when you really had to like, not just push, but like stomp down on that reset button so that you could, you know, kind of reset and continue to operate at the level that you've always operated at?
Yeah. You know, what I have learned in hindsight is that if you do not give yourself the opportunity to rest and reset, especially when you're in particular, when you're going through moments of intensity, like playoff level intensity, you're going to be borrowing from future success, right? Like that's just, it's just a fact. So, you know, just to give, put that in a context, right? So I mentioned earlier, I took a year off sabbatical. So I had this awesome experience, albeit like through a lot of trials and ups and downs with operational improvements and necessary changes with the business. And so we came through all of that. We exited the business. And then not only was that what happened, and I was like, oh, big change. I had moved down here to the SoCal area from the Bay. And my wife and I typically like come close to blows every time we move houses. We got pregnant with our second kid and her pregnancy was really rough. So in addition to like holding it down with our first kid and like making sure everything in the house is straight, I was like worried about my wife. And my father passed away that year. And so I make those points to say like, these are things to a certain extent, like you can't even anticipate coming. And I had been putting myself to the side for so long that once these body blows came, like similar to the experience that Austin mentioned about his friend's son, when those things come, when you're not like planning for these significant events and losses or huge feelings of grief to hit you, but you don't have any reserve in the tank for when those do come because you have borrowed so much from that tank, prioritizing everything else except filling that tank up during these moments of intensity. And so look, like I'm not going to be one to say, oh, when, if you have like a big deal coming up, like do less work. Like, look, make sure you knock that out of the park, right? Like if you have a material change coming up, plan for it, execute it to the best of your ability. But I think the example you gave, Landon, is a perfect example of like these small ways to recover and reclaim some of that energy that I have now learned to implement. And I think other people should be thinking about. They could be as simple as being intentional about ending meetings 10 minutes early so you can go for a walk. They could be turning off your phone for at least one night a week. And like, I am an obsessive phone responder. Like it's just a hangover from my New York Wall Street time, like where when we had Blackberries and it was like managing director emailed, I gotta message him back right now. Like it was just like I got into that habit, and so turning off the phone helps me break it. And like when you do these things, like you get a little bit of that je ne sais quoi back in life, right? Like and that helps, right? Because when you turn your mind off from the thing that you're so focused on, you give space for recovery. And even more valuable, when you're feeling more recovered and have that space, you have the opportunity to have eureka moments. And you can figure out like the hard problem that you might have been so focused on that if you just took a walk and then like we're looking at literally the flowers, the answer could come to you just like that. That's just how our brains work. So you need to give yourself those spaces. So there's value in it. If you want to just understand energetically, like you're borrowing from future energy to pay the toll today. If you want to talk in terms of like opportunities for your business, there are like I know most of my great ideas for business come when I'm like in the shower or doing something not related to business. So like give yourselves the opportunity to have those moments because they both pay really, really high dividends.
Yeah, I think those are great points. You know, we actually had a guest speaker a couple months ago in our Vistage group that talked about some of the things that you mentioned, right? Talked about the importance of rest, getting proper sleep, taking time away from business, taking walks, right? Like walking is, he showed us all kinds of studies about how walking leads to idea generation. It's like the best activity to kind of get your blood flowing and to get your brain starting to think about different things. And so, you know, the great thing about it is it's got that double side of things, right? It gets you away from what you're focused on, right? Maybe you're sitting in front of a computer, or maybe you're working on something on a workbench or whatever the case may be. It gets you away from that, which is good. It gets some physical activity, which is good, right? And then it also leads to potentially an opportunity to generate ideas that you hadn't thought about ahead of time. And so, you know, walking is just huge. Getting out, spending some time in the sun is huge. All these types of things are super, super important for our mental health. And, you know, my version of the answer to Landon's question is if you don't think you have the time to do that or you don't buy into it, try it. Do it in small increments. Do one thing, right? Do a 10-minute walk each day and do that for a week and see how you feel at the end of that week. And when you realize, wow, that actually made me feel better. I have more energy. I feel less burnout, all those types of things. Then extend it, right? Do 20 minutes the next week. Do whatever it is, but don't feel guilty about feeling like you have to be working all day, every single day, and that's what's going to lead to the best outcomes, because it's just not. I was that guy. I put on 30 pounds. I did all the things that every guy does that, you know, is raising a family and, you know, gets the dad bod and all those types of things. I did it. I did every single one of them. And I'm here to tell you that right now I have more balance in my life than I've ever had. But I think Landon will tell you that I'm also the most productive that I've probably ever been.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think about, so, you know, all three of us are, you know, the quintessential entrepreneur. We've all started businesses. We bought businesses. We've sold businesses. We've ran businesses. We advise other people on business. Like we live and breathe business. And when it comes to business, all three of us would sit here, we could talk for days and days upon around, you know, idea generation and trial and error and implementing things in the business because it was a great idea. But like, how many times, you know, have we had a conversation about like doing that kind of stuff in our personal lives? It's like, we're happy to do that kind of stuff all day long in business. Like, hey, I tried out this new marketing technique. I hired this new person to kind of give them a shot, like at this new role. Like, you know, I dumped all this money into this new program in business, right? So we'll spend all this time and effort, money, resources into the business. But like, why don't we do that on the personal side, even to 10% of what we do, you know, in business? So, you know, Brian, for somebody that like wants to kick off like this new version of them, you know, like what, and we can kick this around between the three of us, like what can they do tomorrow? Not, you know, Austin's already, you guys have mentioned a couple things that you can do, but like, how do they actually start to do that tomorrow? And my first suggestion would be, personally, I live and die by my calendar, you know? So I incorporate my personal stuff onto my business calendar because that's the calendar that I use. And I know if I want to do something in a week, if it's not on my calendar, the likelihood of it happening for me is slim to none. So my first suggestion would be, if you want to go on that 10-minute walk every day, put it on your calendar. Don't schedule around it. Don't let your team schedule around it and commit to doing that for some certain amount of time. But for me, if it's not on my calendar, it's very unlikely that it's going to happen.
I hear that. I agree with that 100%. I'm the same way. I'll say, like, to touch on the point that you're making earlier, I think the reason that a lot of us don't talk about like these kind of things versus like, oh man, like I just found this new really like awesome keyword approach to marketing and like paid ads, so like let's try this out. I think in our minds it's not quantifiable, and there's like not a clear correlation to like, hey, I got like 7 hours of sleep last night and then, you know, all of a sudden my net worth went up whatever $1 million. Like there's just, it just doesn't seem that linear. But as I've gotten older and I've met more longer term successful entrepreneurs, I've noted that they do stuff like this. And I used to think like, oh, you know, they just like, that's success. They're just like, they're over the hump and they're not as hungry anymore. But what I've realized was that, no, I was just undervaluing the way that these things can actually help me win forever. Right. And so that's something key. I would say for my version of that, of the thing to like get people started on, I would say find an accountability buddy, like somebody who's let's say evenly yoked, likely another business owner. And if you're married, ideally somebody that's married. And if you have kids, ideally somebody that has kids, and try to have like at least a weekly or biweekly check-in with them. Mm-hmm. Like I have one with a buddy in New York, and I will tell you that of the like top 10 things that helped me survive like COVID, crazy burnout, all this stuff, that was definitely in the top three. And it was bi-directional, because there would be times where I was just like off axis and I'd be like, man, I hate everything. Nothing's going right. My wife is going to leave me. And then he'd be like, dude, zoom out. It's okay. Like, here are all the things that are going well in your life. And I was like, okay, all right. I'm going to trust that for a little bit. And vice versa. Like we've said to each other in the last year, like we've respectively saved each other's marriages because of these calls, because we could see into each other's lives and give each other balance and perspective. And like keeping so many things stable only allows you to make your business even more successful, right? And so, you know, find people who are evenly yoked that you can connect with and share and allow into your life to support you.
Yeah, I think those are both great. I'm actually going to share kind of a combo of the two. I mean, Landon sees my calendar. Landon knows. I mean, I've got from 6:30 to 7:30 every day, I've got some personal development type stuff, spiritual growth, you know, whatever that, but that's what I do from 6:30 to 7:30. And then 7:30 to 9 is my exercise time. Though it's on my calendar. And it does get done every single day. And Landon knows that those hours are very sacred to me, right? If there's got to be a very good reason for me to interrupt those times, because it's super important to my personal growth. But the one thing that I would add to that is whatever you are interested in, or, you know, something that you think that you would want to do or accomplish at some point, set that goal, right? And so if it's a physical goal, great. If it's a spiritual goal, great. If it, you know, whatever it is, right? Reading so many books or taking so many walks, or, you know, for me, Landon knows this, last year it was completing an Ironman 70.3. Like that was my goal. And, you know, I think Landon probably got like fed up with how many people I told that I was doing that. But that's that accountability piece, right? So set the goal and tell as many people as you can that you have set that goal, because all of them will then check in with you and you're going to feel held accountable by many, many people to whatever that goal is, because you don't want to have to come back and say, oh yeah, I stopped training for that. I didn't do it. Or yeah, I did go, but I didn't complete it. Like, you don't want to have that conversation with anybody afterwards. And so it kind of creates that accountability that you were talking about, Brian, but setting that goal and doing something that's going to lead to better spiritual, mental, physical health, whatever that is for you, can really lead you down a great path.
You know, actually, can I ask you a question, Austin?
Sure.
So So I did triathlons as well. So I was like really excited when you mentioned that. And one of the things that I find difficult, I'm curious how you process this, is when you set a goal like that, effectively you have to let go of something, right? Like you can't do everything. So if you're saying, hey, I'm going to do this, I probably got to stop doing that. And like in an ideal world, that is like stuff that's not productive. But like, how do you typically approach prioritizing between like, hey man, I got these three goals, and allowing yourself to be okay with like letting these other things slide and deprioritizing those?
Yeah. I mean, it was really more of an adjustment of the calendar for me, right? Because as somebody who's done this before, you know that an hour and a half, 7:30 to 9 every day is not enough to get you ready for an Ironman 70.3, right? So it did take an adjustment to the calendar, and I had a great team around me that was supportive of that, you know, Landon, the rest of our team at Backbone, but having a supportive spouse that understood that Friday and Saturday for me, some people it would be Saturday and Sunday, but Sunday's a non-negotiable for me. That was my family time, right? That's when I go to church. That's when I spend time with my family. So that was going to be my rest day for the week, which meant that Friday had to be adjusted. And Landon convinced me a few years ago to take Friday afternoons off. And so by making that adjustment, I could do the long bike or run or swim or whatever on Friday, and then do the exact same thing on Saturday. And so the trade-off was less time potentially with my wife on a Saturday. But we figured out other ways to fill that gap, right? Whether it was going to dinner on a weekday or, you know, spending more time together on a Saturday afternoon, even though I'm completely wiped, you know, I burned 2000 calories already that day, but still figuring out a way to spend time together. So, you know, you got to set those priorities, and those have to be non-negotiable. And then you calendar the time that you're going to use to get those things done. And then you still have the other things that have to be done, right? I mean, what I didn't mention is that was when we were completely transitioning our practice away from a captive, quote unquote, group to forming our own registered investment advisory. And so we had a ton going on. But because I was a calendar ninja, so to speak, I was still able to pull it off. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of the approach that I took.
No, I love that. I mean, I think that in a lot of cases, when you have like the big goals, you kind of have to identify those trade-offs. And for, I think, business owners, like, I think a simple version of that is like, hey, maybe you need to delegate these things more so that you can accomplish big thing, right? So if they're fundraising, or if they're really focusing on sales or whatever, it's like, cool, hey man, maybe you just don't need to be in all the operational meetings. Like, delegate some of the authority and decision making, even if it's just for a period. Or maybe you just like can't attend all the trade association events and stuff like that because you have things that your head's down on. And I think that's important, because to the spirit of the point that you just made, you spun out a wealth management practice and like set up a whole new business, and you accomplished a very meaningful, very difficult physical feat all in the same time period, and like came out of it like healthier, stronger, more productive, more financially viable, and like your marriage is solid. Like that might just mean you weren't out for beers with friends like every night of the week anymore. Like, okay, great. Like, you have the big goal, and you just have to make the trade-offs that you needed to be successful. And I think business owners like have to keep that in mind, because we're so often willing to take on other things and responsibilities. And like I said earlier, if the widget needs to get made, like, I'm going to roll up my sleeves and get the widget made. But sometimes you got to be like, hey, widget makers, make the thing so I can go get us more money to make the widgets. Like, you just got to make the trade-off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, final comment for me, and then I'm going to toss it over to Landon and let him kind of close us out. But, you know, it really comes down to the title of this episode. It's prioritizing your mental health, right? That's first, right? And that can take a lot of things. That can include your physical health. That can include your spiritual health, you know, all those kinds of things that will lead to better mental health. But you have to set the priority and make sure that that's solid, because it will ultimately cause you to be more or less successful in the future in your business, whether or not you do put that as a priority.
Yeah. you know, I know we're at time now, and I wish I would have kind of thought about this a little bit earlier, but I'll just leave a quick kind of closing thought on this. And, you know, all three of us are followers of Christ, and we know that that's kind of, for the three of us, like that's a guiding light for us, you know. And in my headline on LinkedIn, it says, doing my best to live a Christ-centered life. And I know personally, for me, that when we talk about refilling, you know, that cup, you know, because we're constantly drawing down that cup. For me, it's serving others. That refills my cup, for sure. And it definitely helps lead to greater mental strength and clarity for me. And sometimes it can be as easy as something as holding a door open for somebody that's like still like 10 or 15 feet away, you know, that like you got to hold it for maybe 3 to 5 seconds, as opposed to the person that's right behind you and you got to hold it open for maybe 1 second. So it's like little, it can be just the littlest of things, you know, that you can do. You know, you're walking out to your car from the grocery store and you see an older person and you notice a case of waters at the bottom of their cart. Hey, can I help you grab that case of waters and put that in your trunk for you, right? Just the littlest things that take 30 seconds or a minute, or it can be something much, you know, much more, you know, involved, but looking for opportunities to serve, I think that can help all of us in a lot of good ways as well.
Yeah, very good point. Well, Brian, really appreciate you being here. Appreciate your thoughts. Landon, as always, it's great. I'll just close out with, if you enjoy this, we hope you enjoy this. If you do, we put out a lot of great content on social media. So do follow us on all the channels at Tycoons of Small Biz and Backbone Planning Partners. We love putting the content out. We've been doing this for 4 years now. So we keep doing it for a reason. We hope people enjoy it. We do get some good feedback, and we love doing something that gives back to the business owner community. So thanks for joining us today, everybody. And we'll look forward to having you for the next episode.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.